And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And indeed, we are grateful to see you here today. Today is a day, according to our Constitution, that we have the responsibility of prayerfully discerning God's call for men and women to serve on our diaconate for the upcoming year. The way we do that is we're about to pass out some nomination ballots. And I would invite the members of the diaconate to go ahead and begin to do that. If you are a member of our congregation, now let me explain the difference. If you come two times, you're a member of Sunday school, or three times, we'd love to have you. But if you haven't joined the church by either baptism or the moving of your letter from where your other church was, and you're not a member of the church proper, and this is by our constitution for members of the church. So this is, again, part of our business, but we do it on Sunday morning as prescribed by our Constitution. So the members of the diaconate are coming now, and they will be passing out. If you would get their attention, if you are a member of the congregation, let them get there and remember our choir, and they will give you a ballot. And then after they have done that, we're going to ask you to take the time during the announcements that Matt will be making, because we've been asking you for a couple of weeks, been in our bulletin, to prayerfully consider who you believe God would have to serve as members of our diaconate for the upcoming year. This is a time, and I'll do it again, that I always like to say, we are about discerning the will of God. This is not a contest. This is not a popularity contest. But this is indeed the will of God. If you remember when the disciples decided they needed to replace Judas Iscariot, and they did with Matthias, they actually cast lots to discern the will of God. Our hope is to discern who God is calling to serve for the next 3 years as members of the diaconate. Now, on the sheet of paper that you are being given are the names of those who are currently serving on the diaconate. They cannot be nominated. If you nominate four instead of three, we must throw out your ballot because we don't know which three you really wanted, and you can only nominate three. So let me encourage you to write down, you can write down one name, you can write down two names, or you can write down three names. Don't write down more than that, and we would appreciate that. And so I'm going to give us just a moment or two for them to get those distributed and make sure that we get everybody who is a member of our congregation a copy of that ballot. So, isn't this nice weather we've been having? I got to do something while I'm standing up here. Have we been upstairs already? Okay. All right. Is there anybody in the congregation that needs to receive a ballot or nomination sheet? It's really not a ballot. Everybody got that? Very good. Then if you would, because at the end of the announcements, the members of the diaconate are going to come back and take them up. So go ahead now and write down the names that you would like to nominate, and in just a very few moments, we'll be collecting them. Matt?
While you're doing that, I'd again like to welcome you to our worship service. Very exciting to see everyone here gathered together for a moment of worship. And if you are a guest with us, or this is a time you have visited and you visited before and you've never filled out a guest card, we are thankful and grateful that you are here with us, excited to be here for a time of worship together. We have guest cards for you. We'd love to have a record of you being here and some information about you. If you could fill one of those out and place in the offering plate, we would greatly appreciate that. Again, welcome to our worship service. I'll talk a little slower to make sure everyone has the time needed to fill everything out and be collected. And so while you have a pen out, you might want to jot down a few pieces of information that I will give you all, because some of them are dates and other times and things like that. First thing I would like to mention is Anyone who would like to go to the Mudcats ball game next Saturday, please sign up today so tickets can be ordered, and the sign-up's in the vestibule. They'll leave church at 3:30. Yes, one fold. I know some of us may be good at origami, but one fold would be sufficient for us to be able to read those. And if you do pass them to the middle, that would help everybody just kind of come down the line and gather those. Well, while you're doing that, I'd also like to just recognize the WMU circles that were so diligent in collecting the school supplies. I was fortunate enough to see this week just how many that was, and to see Kay Gray take them to the school. That was just excellent to see the turnout and the way we were able to help the elementary school right here next to us. Another piece of information, the teacher training that you see sign up for in the vestibule is next Sunday. And again, I remind you, this is not like the other teacher training opportunities we have had. This is hopefully an annual event that we will have before the beginning of each new church year where the new teachers who have been nominated on come into place. And this is a time for us to talk about all aspects of our educational ministries, from children's church to Sunday school to Wednesday night to Sunday nights. The whole gamut will be discussed in many different ways. Lunch is also provided, and it will take place right after the worship service. So if you are a teacher for the next year and you haven't signed up, you probably will get a call at some point this week. So just go ahead and sign up and be ready for next Sunday after worship. Another thing, this afternoon starting at 3:30, we have our back-to-school fellowship and Awana registration. Very excited for this opportunity that's coming up with Awana. You'll have an opportunity to learn a lot about that this afternoon when we're having our back-to-school fellowship for all of our children and youth. We have several activities planned for the whole family, so come out. And also come out hungry because we're going to have dinner provided as well. See a theme. Each time we meet, we usually have some kind of food involved. And just a little piece of information before we continue with a couple more announcements. Starting this week, you've heard about updating that will be taking place in a few areas. Painting specifically will be taking place soon in the upstairs portion of the educational building. And just to let teachers know, your rooms won't be moved in any way. The only thing that will be different will be anything on the walls will be taken off so the painting can occur. And that will start this week. One other thing, prayerfully consider, and you'll probably hear this when Gary speaks to us in a moment, prayerfully consider a couple more opportunities that we have. We have some needs in our educational ministries coming up this church year, specifically the WMU director and also an ACT Teens leader. Prayerfully consider how God may be leading you to be involved in that capacity or any other capacity that we have opportunities for. And also, you'll notice on the end here, and in here, I told you we had a lot of announcements to have your pen ready. We have a little handout, and it's exciting news in our children's ministry. And it gives you an overview of all the aspects of our children's ministry. So I encourage you to really pick one of those up, read it, pass it out to friends and family so they understand the whole aspect of our children's ministry and how all the different aspects work together as a whole. And so I encourage you to take that and make sure you're up to date on that as well. Have I spoke long enough to... Yes. Okay. The golf outing for the men that's taking place through the Baptist men is the 28th, not the 18th in the bulletin. And women. So, excuse me. I'm sorry. Apologize. Yes. Do we have any other ballots that need to be collected? I've tried to drone out the beginning as long as I could to make sure we've had sufficient time. All right. Well, now let us begin our worship service, a time of worship, with a prayer. Let's bow our heads. God, we come before you humbly, knowing that you have called us together again to worship you. Lord, that is always exciting. That is always a call that we need to understand clearly. Lord, as we see this morning, it entails being able to discern your will for the servants of our church. Lord, we ask that you speak clearly so we can understand the need for the servant leadership to be in place and how to do that. And Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds this morning as we sing praises and hymns to your name, giving you the glory and hearing your word that we are renewed and invigorated by your Holy Spirit, excited to be a disciple of your Son, Jesus Christ, and Lord, ready to share that gospel with others. And God, we pray this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship this morning.
Good morning. Let's turn in our hymnal to page 388. Our God has made us one. In Him our hearts unite. When we, His children, share His love, our joy is His delight. Let's all stand.
Good morning. So good to see all of you here this morning. Always excited to see you come down ready to learn what God is going to teach us this morning and each and every Sunday morning as we come together for worship. So I'll give y'all plenty of time to come and sit right here in front of me. That'll give me time to grab what I need. Well, let me ask you a question. Can anybody tell me what this is? That's an easy question. Baseball trophy. Well, it's actually a softball trophy. I got this from 1985 Church League Tournament Champion. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Champion, Church League champions this morning. You know, they usually give out trophies to the best team in a league, right? And sometimes even the best player of a sport, right? You'll see trophies like this and sometimes even bigger. I think one of the neatest is the gold glove in baseball. They actually dip their glove in gold. That's pretty neat, right? And that's their trophy. Well, let me ask you a question. I know a lot of you play sports, right? And if I was to ask you if you could be the very best player in a sport, what sport would you want to be the very best player in? Yeah.
Soccer,
the very best soccer player. I love that. What else? Gymnastics, best gymnast. I like that. What else? Basketball, perfect. Baseball, all right, we got a good variety here. I like this. What else? Basketball, these are great. What else? Yeah. Basketball? All right, perfect. I love that. So you would have a variety of people who would be the very best in sport. I didn't hear anybody talk about cross-country training, right? I didn't hear anybody talk about runner. We actually have one of our youth Christian here who's a cross-country, who does cross-country before, and that's actually kind of what we're going to talk about this morning because our scripture talks about running a race. But this morning, when we talk about our scripture, we're going to remember that it's not talking about an actual race like Christian might run, all right? It's telling us something, and it's giving us an example that I'm going to tell you after we read the scripture, okay? Let's see. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So listen to this really carefully. Therefore, since we have so great cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. And listen to this. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what we're learning from this is not running an actual race. What we're learning is, you know, during a race, and the reason this example was given, there was a lot of practice before the race even started, right? A Christian has a lot of practice ahead of him to prepare for the races that will happen, running each and every day, getting ready and training your body to be ready for the race, right? Well, the same example is being used for us as Christians. Each and every day, we have to make sure we're living for God and we're always working hard for Jesus. And so that's why that example is given. As a church and as Christians, we need to make sure that we're always putting forth our best effort and always looking for ways to work together to live as Christians, okay? Let's pray about that this morning. God, we are so thankful that you teach us how to always live for you. Teach us how to work together and understand that it is a race. And Lord, it's one that we're hopeful will always end in giving you the glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'll see y'all next week, okay?
Let me invite you to open your bulletins as our children are returning or going to children's church, that you would see the names that are there. I would like to encourage us to think of those two positions, actually three, the WMU director, assistant director, and also our act teams director. One of the things that Matt, he and I have talked some, and he has done the work of putting together how our whole program works together. Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and all the things we do in between. That's kind of an overview of how they each have their own specific important part, especially of our children and youth's spiritual education. And it is, I believe, vitally important that we're involved in all of those areas. So we are just praying for God to lay upon the heart of the persons that need to step forward. And I would ask you to pray about that if God might be speaking to you. Let me also share with you, it's good to see Matt here. You might see he's a little tied up. Matt dislocated his shoulder this past week during football. Nobody mentioned football, Matt. I didn't hear anybody mention football, but that's well. But he is going to be going on to see another doctor about that shoulder. We want to keep him in our prayers. Also, Heather Hickman, I'd invite you to add her name. Heather is going to Baptist Hospital. In fact, they're going to be doing a series of tests to try to understand some of the issues that are making her so nauseated. And this has been a long, long battle for her. And so we want to add her and keep her in our prayers in a very special way. It is good to see Judith Nance beating away back there with a pacemaker. I called her yesterday, and I think she sounded the strongest that I've heard her in a while. And we are grateful for those procedures, and we want to continue to pray for her. And we want to continue to remember the Janice Harris family in our prayers in a very special way as well. You see all these names. Good to see Ruth in worship with us today. Ruth's doing better. You see those names, and especially the ongoing concerns. Some of them are our homebound. We need to continually lift them to prayer. And now I know God will place on our own hearts others. Blake Wicker. So if we would remember that family on that prayer list. Thank you, Wayne. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your call upon our life and the privilege and the challenge of being church, of being the body of Christ in this community, of being your hands and your feet, a station in the midst of a world that needs your love and your grace and your mercy. Missionaries who need to know they're being supported and prayed for, and how we could teach our children your word, that when we apply it to our heart and life, it becomes that North Star that we can always follow and find ourselves headed in the right way. For the time we come together to share and to laugh and to cry together, sharing when you bless us with good and crying when our hearts are broken because of loss. And we are a community of faith, and I thank you for that. I thank you for all the work that is done, for all those who give of their time and energy in so many, many ways. And Lord, as we pause now in worship to pray, we lift the needs that we have mentioned here before you, asking for you to touch each situation as you know there's need. And God, as we sang of your unity, and today as we will read about the love chapter and what love really can do, would you begin to speak to us clearly about our walk with you? Guide us now and direct us in these few moments, that when we leave, you might guide us and direct us all this week. In Christ's name we pray.
Page 440, in the presence of the Lord, let's all stand.
There is joy in the presence of the Lord. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. There is joy in the presence of the Lord.
Thank you, choir. Indeed, singing God's praises. What a powerful message. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I have a 7-hour sermon that we're going to begin today. Nobody left. Amen. Amen. You're going to hear it over the next several Sundays, though. We're going to begin a series today on what's been called the love chapter. Just a moment of teaching. Paul establishes a church in a very wicked city named Corinth. It was known, in fact, to insult someone as immoral, you might call them a Corinthian. It was what we might call the devil's den. And there, the Apostle Paul, being led by the Spirit on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, would establish a church there in Corinth. He went on, after establishing the church a couple of years later, to go to other places and establish other churches. But since he was what we might call the founding pastor or the founding member of that congregation, he still had great influence. And he, remember, this was a time when there was no New Testament. Scripture was only the Old Testament. And so theology, some of it was all over the place, and especially in Corinth. There were all kind of faiths that would try to vie for position. And when a group of people would become established, like the first church at Corinth, there would be many who would want to come and infiltrate that church, to come and take that group of people and their resources and mold them into something different. And the early church had great problems. In fact, the letter to 1 and 2 Corinthians, the church to Galatians, these are churches that Paul wrote to churches having difficult experiences. And one of the problems they were having in the midst of our text today, in fact, 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, deal with spiritual gifts. And what are they, and how important are they, and how should they express themselves in worship, and what does it mean if some have some gifts and others have other gifts? So in the midst of that, we find what many consider the 23rd Psalm of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter it's called, and rightfully so. On this first Sunday, we're going to read the whole passage, the whole chapter. And on the last Sunday, we'll read the whole chapter. But each other time, we will simply be on our specific verse. And today, our verse is verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us today as we open our hearts to your Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your hymn book to page 457, Lord, Be Glorified. Lord, Be Glorified. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of the message this morning. I've entitled our first dip into the love chapter as Loveless Noise. Loveless Noise. I want to share, I think, three truths from this beautiful passage and the first verse. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Without love, we have no message. The message of the church is love. It's God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Our message is one of love. It's easy to lose that message. You say, how could you ever lose that message? But it is. It's easy to get caught up in what we do, whether it be at home. And that can be a problem in a marriage, or with our children, or with our parents. Whether it be at church, whether we become more concerned about what we're doing or how we're doing it than what God is doing in and through us. At work, when we go to work and we begin to understand that we think that our work is all about us and we're in control, instead of it is part of our stewardship and a place where we are to express the love of God. There are too many today who are producing the wrong message. You see, I'm convinced that we, the church, we haven't lost the message. But I sometimes wonder if we've lost the love. Too many are receiving the wrong message. How you receive things. Someone has said what someone says and what I hear may not always be the same thing. You ever heard something wrong? There's a story about a proud young man who walked into a room looking for his friends, and he passed two beautiful, blue-eyed, blonde young women at the door, and they both looked him over, and he could tell they were looking him over. You know what I'm saying? They were looking him over. One looked at the other and said, nine, nine. She said, nine? Wow. He pridefully went over to his friend and says, You see those two gorgeous gals over there? He said, I just walked by and they looked at me and said, I was a nine. Friend looked at him and kind of smiled and said, you don't understand. They're from Germany. Nine means no, no, not him. Not him. Not him. You ever hear, I wonder if sometimes God speaks to us so clearly, but maybe I come with all of my stuff and I'm listening to too many wrong messages that aren't love motivated. The word that he uses over and over for love is the Greek word agape. That there are several words in the Greek language. There's philos or philos and eros and there's they all have different meanings, but the word agape is a word the Greeks didn't use very often. In fact, the early church kind of made it their own word to talk about God's love. Do you realize that Deep River is full of God's hands and God's heart, and we are distributed from this place with our sister churches into this community to be the love of God? That's our message. Oh, if the world hears anything other than the love of God, they might hear the wrong thing. The purpose of speech is to communicate a message. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. There's been great debate. Some have said that the angelic message was possibly that was given on the day of Pentecost when the disciples preached in their language and everyone heard it back in Acts chapter 2 in their own language. Some say it might be a part of their worship experience, the tongues that came down as though they were heavenly tongues. And Paul said those tongues needed to be interpreted when they came forth. But he says, even if you have that kind of experience, and yet you are not love motivated, it's not important. Throughout the book, Paul is going to use tremendous exaggerations to make his point. I mean, we read them. They're great exaggerations. People dying and moving mountains and doing all kinds of things. He uses great exaggeration to say that our motivation, our message must be one of love. Words communicate love. And so he says, whether it's the earthly tongue or the angelic tongue, it is to communicate God's love. We understand how words work. If I were to say to you that the house is on fire, you wouldn't go in the house and take a nap, would you? We must hear correctly. We must understand the words, because when we don't, we become like those who might be hard of hearing. I wonder if sometimes I might be spiritually hard of hearing. And if I am, if I have put myself to where love is not the filter through which I see, and not just any love, but the love that Christ, Jesus Christ, taught me, then I hear the wrong way. There was an elderly man who was traveling with his wife from Memphis to Nashville. The trip was progressing along fine until they were having car trouble and pulling into the nearest gas station. The mechanic came up and started a conversation with the gentleman. "Where are you headed?" asked the mechanic. "Nashville," replied the man. "What did he say? What did he say?" the impatient and virtually deaf wife asked. To which he replied, "He asked where we were going. I told him Nashville." "Well, where are you coming from?" the mechanic asked. "Memphis," replied the old man. What did he say? What did he ask us?" she asked. He replied, "He asked where we're coming from, and I told him Memphis." "Memphis," sighed the mechanic. "I once knew an old lady from Memphis that was the meanest, rudest, ugliest old bag there's ever been. That's the reason I moved from Memphis." What did he say? What did he say?" "He said he thinks he knows your sister," is what he replied. You see, if you don't hear God's message right, somebody might be interpreting it for you. Somebody might be taking part of what was said and putting it there. You ever been there? I tell you, I've been in those times when I kind of didn't use God's love and I became offended at people. You ever been offended at someone? You know, it's hard to be offended when love is your full motivation. It's just hard. We must not add to God's message. We must express God's message. What we say doesn't matter if love's not the message. With all the religious language in the world, if we don't communicate God's love, Paul says it's worthless. Love communicates the value of another person. Love communicates the right message. And even if the message is hard, it's still communicated in love. I love the movie, and they've just redone it a few years ago, The Poseidon Adventure. You remember that movie about a luxury craft that is cruising across a cruise ship, And in a terrible storm, it gets turned upside down and everyone is disoriented. Do you realize we live in a disoriented society? Do you realize America is disoriented? We have lost our way. No longer is north, north, and no longer is right, right, and no longer... We've become disoriented. And the story of the Poseidon Adventure tells about a small group. In fact, a preacher is one of them. And I think the writer did that to remind us of a spiritual direction. And so they began to make their way. I haven't seen the new one. I saw the old one. So the new one may be different. I don't know. But they begin to make their way. And they come across other groups of people who in their disorientation have convinced themselves they're going the right way when they're going the wrong way. And the little band that the movie centers on, they're going the right way, but the majority of the people are going the wrong way. And so they meet him and they say, oh no, you don't remember what happened and this is the right way. You need to come with us. Oh no, no, you're going wrong. You're going wrong. And so they continue to go wrong. And the movie, you remember how the movie ends? That little band, not even all of them make it, but that little band that cut against what the society was saying went the right way. Because you see, the right way is still the right way no matter whether a majority are going that way or not. It doesn't matter what the majority does. There's only one right way. That's God's way, communicated through God's love. If we're not going that way, we're going wrong. That little band is finally saved. Our message must be one of love. Secondly, without love, not only is there no message, there's no music. Did Gail play just a minute ago? We have a fine Baldwin piano here in the worship. Y'all have never heard me play before, have you? Aren't you glad you came today? You ready? Want some more? Yeah, somebody said, amen. That instrument, with Gail's fingers and Gail's training and Gail's practice and Gail's experience and Cindy's and Elaine and all those who go over and have given of themselves to learn to play it, sounds so much different when they touch it. Without love, there is no music. We may have an instrument. We may have all the notes. We may be able to go over and touch them and make them make noise. But they are loveless noises. They have no melody. They do not stir us. Many times, one of the highlights of my worship is to hear Gail and Regina play, and that music just stirs my soul. I think God created us that way. But as they stir us, it is because of their discipline. It is because of the love of music that they have dedicated themselves to learn how to put those keys and press those keys and play those keys in the right way. The same instrument, but a totally different sound. The church can be that way. A Christian can be that way. We can have the love of God in our heart, but if all people hear from us is the worldly noise, then they're not hearing what we have been saved to be. We are to create the music of Zion. I tell everybody I was cut out to be a singer. I just got sewed up wrong. But yet still, when I sing to God's glory, not the words, it's the heart. It's the music of the heart. I wonder if we understand that that is written on the staff, not of F-A-C-E, but of L-O-V-E, God's love. That's what Christ came. He is the canvas upon which I am to paint my life. He is my all in all. The music of Zion is produced when we follow God correctly. It's moving. And it's life-changing. He talks about a clanging cymbal and a banging gong, which sounds like my piano playing, doesn't it? There were two main idols in Corinth, Cybele and Dionysus. And a lot of the worship had to do with banging cymbals and bonging on gongs. No melody. A false god. I wonder today, I wonder if God's Holy Spirit might be speaking to us and saying, when we begin to listen to the world and we try to do our Christian faith by the world standards instead of trying to change the world standards by our Christian walk, we're like a clanging cymbal and a gong. We're reminded that we are to produce that music of Zion. It makes a big difference in everyone's life. Are we producing the music of love? I've begun to greet people when they ask how we're doing. It's amazing to me. I never thought about it until I started giving this answer. How are you doing? And some of you by now know how I usually respond. How do I respond when you ask me how I'm doing? Anybody got it yet? Got to where most of the time I will say blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed by the love of God. I hope, but I would like to think that maybe on the last day of my life, and the last question someone asked me, how are you doing? I hope I could say, blessed. Blessed. Blessed by the love of God. Blessed by His presence. Blessed by His power. Blessed by His grace. Blessed by His forgiveness. That's the love of God. That's what I hold on to. That's what the world needs to hold on to. That's our message. That's our music. Finally, this morning, if we're not producing the music of God, then we have no meaning. A song that has no message or melody is not a song at all, is it? I remember when I was a young man, a young boy, there used to be a program called American Bandstand. Anybody here old enough to remember Dick Clark? So y'all are old folks, I tell you now. Well, it came on Saturday mornings, and Dick Clark would interview the latest, greatest, usually rock singers. He did souls. He did all kinds of singers. And they would come on, and they would do their new hit. And there would be a crowd of people out there, and they'd be dancing. Now, if you haven't experienced some of the dances of the 60s and 70s, you've never lived. Now, we had the funky chicken. We had some stuff going on back then. And I remember my daddy would love when he didn't really like that program. And when my sister, I'll blame her, she's not here to defend, when she had it on, you know, he would sometimes go up and cut the sound down. And there was this group of people gyrating. I mean, you talk about silly looking. You watch people doing the latest, greatest dance with no music. They look silly. They look foolish. You look like, I mean, they're. I thought about doing something for you, and I said, nah, that ain't going to happen. But just imagine in your mind some of the moves and gyrations and no music. I mean, you'd call 911 and say, those people need help. They are pre-seizure right there. I wonder if that's what the church looks like when we're not walking and dancing to the love of God. We're doing all kind of motions. We're going through all kind of gyrations. We're doing stuff. But if it's lost its meaning because it isn't love motivated, it isn't love permeated, and it isn't love flowing, then it looks like people dancing without music. It looks silly to the world. And they don't want any part of it. A life that has no love is not a life at all. God created us to love. It changes how we see everything. I love the story about the couple that were sitting on the couch. They just had the empty nest, you know. The last child had just gone to college. And the husband, he reached down and he took his wife's glasses. Her head was in his lap. He took her glasses off and he said, "You know, honey, without your glasses, you look like that same beautiful young woman I married." She said, "Honey," with a grin, "without my glasses, you still look pretty good too." I think I resemble that remark. But you know, it is the love of God that causes me to make you look pretty good. You look better to me the more I put on the lenses of God's love. I'll reverse that little silly story. And the more I put on God's love, the better you look, the better you are. I can see all kind of powerful things. To abuse God's love, to misuse God's love, or to ignore God's love will lead us to a life of meaninglessness. You were created to love. I was created to love. We were put in this community of faith to love each other and to love this community. We were put here to share that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is God's love. Now they abide faith, hope, and love. These three, all of them vitally important. And the greatest of those is God's love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, for your love, would you inhabit all of our message? Would you give us the music? And would you allow the meaning of our words and our deeds and indeed our life to be the sharing of that great love that you have for us. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Lord, help me this week to live a life of laying it down in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 457. This morning, if God's Spirit is speaking to your heart, challenging us on any area or any level, maybe an area of our life where his love has not permeated us like it needs to, where we can go out from this place under his direction, then this invitation is a perfect opportunity for us to make that choice and make that decision. Whatever God may be saying, whether we respond to him publicly or privately, may we respond to the love of God as we stand together. Have you seen the fellowship hall this morning? I thought that the Baptist men had decorated it for our breakfast this morning, but it's ready for a one. I hope you'll be prayerfully remembering our registration and the ministry to our children as we're going to be able, through this program, we believe, to really plant the Word of God into their heart, into their mind, into their life, and into their future. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. Be praying for us. We're going to have a great day as we come back to hang out and also to get that registered. So be remembering us in your prayers today as that ministry moves forward. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence. By the way, that's God's love, that we might be His people of love in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us. Thank you for loving us with an undying love, and help us to love each other and to love others as you love us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Change my mind.